We are supported solely by individuals just like you. We feature progressive voices rarely heard in the media, such as Angela Davis, Laverne Cox, Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz, Arun Gupta, Medea Benjamin, Naomi Klein, Bill McKibben, and Chris Hedges. To access our complete audio and book catalog, just go to our website, alternativeradio.org. Again, our website where we are podcasting, alternativeradio.org. To place a credit card order for CDs, MP3s, or written transcripts of today's program, Ruth Bader Ginsburg on Gender Equality, call us at 1-800-444-1977. Again, that number is 1-800-444-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamyan. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, Portland. This is Tave Fauché-Drake, and you are listening to KBOO Portland. Up after these announcements, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, we have Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, and at 11, a real treat, on stage and studio, the creators of two new productions visit KBOO. Acclaimed Chilean puppet theater company Silencio Blanco brings their inventive play, The Silence of Coal, to Portland. Then, a look at Northwest Dance Project's production of Carmen. And at 11:30, Art Focus interviews one of the creators of Black Sun, a collective of artists generating new images of blackness. I'd like to thank all the KBOO members for their very generous support. And if you're listening today and you're not a member, please become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on the red donate button.
KBOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice of board meetings in writing, please email Monica at kboo.org.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, March 7th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your Antifa fabulous radio at 90 point FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. Before we get rolling today, our guest today, Paula Hood is here in the studio with us, the Biodiversity, Blue Mountains Biodiversity Project. There's a benefit coming up on Friday, and we'll tell you all about that in just a bit. So be ready to make note of that, and you can always listen to this broadcast again at the KBOO website and hear what we talk about a second time around. And get all of the information on this benefit because it's going to be a real kick. For the weather first, because as we always say, weather is what connects all of us. Connects us to not only to the earth beneath our feet, but the weather connects us to one to another all around the world because that's something we all share. and we are from time to time blessed or persecuted by it, depending, as we say in permaculture. That said, the weather right here, right now in Cascadia. Well, it looks like a chance of showers today, obviously, in a high around 47, probably a bit blustery. Tonight, showers likely and a low around 40. Winds getting up there a bit, touching around 10, perhaps a little bit higher, 10 miles per hour, probably a bit more out in the gorge. Tomorrow, Wednesday, showers likely, and we've got a high around 48. Tomorrow night, it's 50-50 once again on the showers. Seems that we always get 50-50 rain at night and a low around 40. A pretty familiar Pacific Northwest pattern. Look up at the sky and feel the drops coming down on your face. It's a wonderful feeling. That said, Paula Hood is with us today. Just briefly before we get started, though, I do want to mention that Trump and gang have rolled out what they call an American Health Care Act. It's going to get marked up, we hope. We hope it gets marked up. It needs to be marked up. In fact, it needs to be torn up is what it needs. It's an absurd idea that simply saying, well, he claims he's providing health care to everybody simply because he says, if you can pay for it, that's what we aren't hearing. Yeah, health care for all Americans who can pay for it. This enormously benefits the wealthy, of course, and the poor are totally written out. The people who wrote the bill have no concept of what it's like to perhaps live in a double wide and working three jobs, eating awful food, and having no vision whatsoever of the future. That life is going to be like that. No vacation, no nothing, nowhere to go, no escape. And illness threatening it all the time. And when illness does strike, and like the rain, it does indeed fall on all of us at one time or another, there will be nothing there. Every vestige of a safety net in this wealthiest of nations has been ripped away. Instead, we have guns. So what are we going to do? Go out there with a semi-automatic and blast away at cancer? That's about all that. That's about what it's come to. The seriousness of this ridiculous excuse for a health care bill has been remarked upon by those who could, in fact, fix it, but probably won't do it because they themselves have great health care. And no question about that. So now, regarding the wiretapping, and former CIA director Michael Hayden says there's a lot to say on that note. But others who have reason to know about these things says that is it possible that they're dragging Russians back into it and claiming that the Russians are the... Yes, there was wiretapping, and no, it wasn't Obama, but yes, it was those crafty old Russians, once again, who engineered this. Former Bush Attorney General Michael Mukasey says that any surveillance of Trump Towers conducted the behest of the Attorney General at the Justice Department, rather than on the orders of former President Barack Obama. Because he says that if there was a wiretap on Trump Tower, it would mean that there is suspicion someone had been acting as a Russian agent. I suppose so. Anybody could be living in a broom closet in a building the size of Trump Tower. And Michael Hayden, of course, coming out and saying how utterly ridiculous the whole thing is. Back to Oregon, policymakers are considering establishing a statewide data collecting system on police stops, searches, and arrests, as well as requiring all law enforcement officers to undergo cultural and bias training. And how about a drug test now and then, eh? Someone maybe wants to take a look at that. That said, all of that and probably much more. There is a great deal more happening. Of course, Trump's Muslim ban is the same old Muslim ban as before. only hood. Welcome to the KBOO Airways. We've got this terrific benefit coming up, but we want to talk about the biodiversity project. Why biodiversity, what that means, and why it is so important. We sometimes forget that we are a part, we are among the creatures that we're trying to save.
Thank you very much, Chris, for having me on the air. I'm very excited to be here on Air Cascadia. And yes, Blue Mountains Biodiversity Project. So the work that we do and the proceeds of this benefit are going to go towards our summer field season. And so what that is that every summer us and dozens of our volunteers field survey thousands of acres of timber sales. And we take the information that we collect on the ground and we fight ecologically destructive logging projects and we document on the ground conditions. And we also document discrepancies between what the agency says and what we see in the field. And we use all of this information for the protection of old growth and mature forests, important wildlife habitat corridors, connectivity corridors, core habitats, and we use this to preserve biodiversity and protect clean water. And being out in the field with us gives volunteers a very important and unique opportunity to connect with the landscapes that they're fighting to defend. And so, you know, the overarching purpose of our project is that we are fighting we are defending these forests against ecologically destructive projects on public lands in eastern Oregon. And this includes projects such as logging projects, livestock grazing, mining, herbicide and biocide use. And we work on the Deschutes, Ochoco, Umatilla, and Malheur National Forests. And this is important also because the pace and the scale of logging on national forests in eastern Oregon has been and continues to increase. And so it's very important that we continue to defend these forests from these threats and to fight against the rollback also of environmental protections that Trump and his Republicans are pushing and to continue to resist their destructive agenda.
I want to ask a couple of things. Many people are saying, well, you know, the ranchers and so forth claim that they know best. Well, they know they've been living there for such a long time that they know what's best for the land out there, where we very often forget about it and overlook the threats that are right now destroying what we have left of Oregon's forests, these very remote places that ranchers, of course, would love to have turned over to private development. And that, of course, is something that Trump's efforts to destroy the EPA would certainly further. Can you talk a bit about why keeping public lands public and administer it, why others should be in charge of administering the land rather than, I don't know, a collection of heavily armed ranchers?
So, first of all, I'd like to say that in our field checking, we have documented for many years some very clear and extreme and extensive harm to streams, rivers, the fields, flowers, natural areas. There's a lot of damage out there from livestock grazing that we have many years of documentation of. And so it is a serious threat to the ecology and the ecological integrity of these regions, particularly to the aquatic systems there. And so we're seeing these effects on the ground, and we have plenty of, you know, pictures, et cetera, of it. And so, I do think that it is, of course, very important to keep public lands public. And part of the reason for that is that, you know, the laws that exist currently and the protections aren't enough, but they are certainly better than rolling them back. We're already seeing fish and, you know, all these systems struggle under these effects, and particularly the cumulative effects between, because there will often be logging projects and grazing allotments in the same areas. And so the cumulative effects on streams and ecosystems from all of these different impacts are very severe. That said, you know, we absolutely need not only the laws that exist, but more protections on these areas, not less. And when these areas are left to private interests, then, you know, we've seen in the past and continue to see that ecological destruction is more severe, not not at all less.
I see. I want to say one thing. This is one reason why it's so incredibly important to support these kind of efforts, the Blue Mountain Biodiversity Project, and others of the same sort, because of the enormous amount of money behind the move to privatize all of it. And I believe that from my experience, and I want to ask you about this, is many people are good environmentalists. They go on hikes and they go camping and they love nature and all that. They don't see why cattle. They think, well, cows are nice. They're part of nature. They're, you know, and they, it's hard to bring home to people that the enormous harm that cattle do to wild places. There is a huge difference between domestic cattle and the natural state of the land in remote places in eastern Oregon, all of these areas that you named, and there should be more of them under protection. There's no money now, of course, it's been yanked. Can you talk then a little bit more about how important it is to have that connection to the land, and how one's activism needs to be inspired by that?
Absolutely. And also, I want to say that I don't think a lot of people are aware of how extensive cattle grazing and logging still are on national forests, and particularly in eastern Oregon. And so, you know, there's plenty of areas where when I bring my water filter out with me camping for, you know, the entire field season out there, there's not a stream in some areas that you can find to filter your water, or that there's not cows trampling through the streams. And so, you know, they're everywhere. You wake up in your campground in the morning and you're surrounded by cows. You go to have lunch at a stream, you're surrounded by cows. So they're, you know, there's really extensive livestock grazing, and also, you know, yeah, just throughout the forest. And of course, logging, it's the same. I don't think people are fully aware of the ex-